This is Will's Band of the Week for July 5th, 2020. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will from Fourth Bedroom Studios, along with Chris from Ron Swanson Studios.
Here I am.
And Anurag from the Ontario Bureau. I don't think we've named the studio yet. Do you have a name for your studio?
The best studio in the world.
Best studio in the world in Kitchener, Ontario. That's what it's very yes. It's known for, the studios. That's the Neve mixer you've got in there, and it must be pretty cool to be surrounded by that fancy equipment.
Yep. I've got two laptops, one big screen, a few books, and lots of vinyl. Last time when you was dropped by at my house, I didn't show off my vinyl collection to you, did I?
No.
Oh, I missed my opportunity. All right, next time.
Do you have the vinyl just, you know, organized and like shelving like most people do? Or do you have
it's mostly what my daughter picks up and puts back, and she just messes it all up. But no, I've got no system.
Do you ever put the album covers up on the wall as art?
No. Again, my daughter does that, not me.
Huh. Because that's a fun way to use vinyl. Chris, do you buy any vinyl?
I do buy some vinyl, but I kind of go by... you remember when Richard Pryor said, cocaine is God's way of telling you have too much money?
Yeah.
I feel like buying vinyl in the streaming era is just God's way of telling you have too much money. You have too much expendable income.
Yeah.
There's obviously a benefit in having physical media. And most of what I get is stuff like from my childhood or from high school that I really have a connection with, that I kind of want to be able to look at and feel and like go back to the old days. But for the most part, it doesn't do a whole lot for me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a turntable, so I don't, I've been out of the vinyl thing for a long time. I think there could be a middle ground though, right? A person who doesn't have a super amount of extra income, but you know, just buys the occasional thing as a sort of collector's item or special thing, right?
Yeah, that's sort of me. I did buy, like, I bought the Hazel English vinyl just because I was on this very website, on this very podcast, saying, please, everybody, give Hazel English all your money. And I felt like I'd be a hypocrite if I did not do so. So
yeah.
I spent $20 on a vinyl record like 4 weeks ago, and it still hasn't come. Bought it through Bandcamp. So get on it, Bandcamp.
Yeah, come on, people.
Yeah, no, my criteria for buying a vinyl is like, yeah, nostalgia, of course. And then the new stuff, too, I do buy every now and then. And that's the, you know, like I tell my wife, like I have only one thing to splurge on, and that's music. So I try and buy whatever I can from Bandcamp and from, like, I don't buy vinyl from Bandcamp because their shipping to Canada is horrendous. It's like almost the cost of the vinyl itself. So I have to wait for the vinyl stores to open here, and then I'll go scrounging for some vinyl. Yep, I enjoy it. I really enjoy holding that, you know, vinyl in my hand. That's my criteria.
I hope some people have bought or will buy the No Age vinyl after we promoted it and talked to Randy, which was just awesome. That was a fun interview we did.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it was a good interview, and it's a really good album, too. I might not have listened to it otherwise if you hadn't done that interview, but now I'm happy I have.
Cool. Yeah, and he actually mentioned that the vinyl production plants were shut down for a while because of the coronavirus, and that they had just gotten them back going again. So that could be part of the reason why. Maybe that's what happened to Hazel English. Her vinyl production facility stopped producing. So
yeah, I thought that some factory in Los Angeles got burned down, and they were like the only one of two factories in the world that produce some element that the vinyls need, the other one being in Japan. So that's why the vinyl production has taken a hit. I wonder if that's what...
I just assume with all the profits she made from being on our podcast that she was able to buy her own record making facility and start cranking them out. So hopefully that's the case.
Yeah, you have your home studio down in the basement, and then in the corner you have your vinyl production facility. So what do we got going on? We have music to talk about, which is good as usual, right?
I actually have some breaking news. I actually just watched, and this is not normally what we talk about, but it counts as music. I just watched Hamilton, which is, you know, the biggest musical theater Broadway play of the last couple of years, and it's entirely musical, and it's entirely about the life of Alexander Hamilton, and of course it's widely praised, universally praised, and as much as it pains me to say something is good that is universally praised, I gotta say it's actually pretty good. So if you have Disney Plus or whatever it's streaming on now, I would definitely check out Hamilton. It kind of reminded me a little bit as I was watching it of Sufjan Stevens's Illinois, Come On, Feel the Illinois album. And that it takes like history. It takes, you know, long forgotten history and turns it into music. And it's just like an arcane piece that would have just sat there for years and years without anybody thinking about it. And then an artist comes along, plucks it out, and makes something really unique and really entertaining from it. So, and of course, Sufjan Stevens' Illinois album was my favorite of the last decade. So kind of reminded me of that. And yeah, it's pretty good. It's, you know, a multiracial cast telling American history, which is pretty cool. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm the last person on Earth to have seen it, obviously. And so, you know, you've already heard all the plaudits.
You're not last because I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it yet?
No. Oh, see, neither has Anurag.
My wife and daughter have seen it. Yeah.
I'm afraid that I just wouldn't connect with it completely. So, Chris, you mentioned long forgotten history. Assume that I've long forgotten history. Will I be reminded, or how much prior knowledge is required?
So I actually tweeted this. A thing that I knew a lot about was Alexander Hamilton, and something I knew nothing about was Hamilton. So I actually knew kind of his whole story from beginning to end, read the Ron Chernow book, and it's pretty faithful to it. It's pretty good, and the songs are great. But if you didn't have that background, you'd still be able to follow it, you know, really easily.
I can vouch for that because my wife knows nothing, and then when she saw the play, she said she was in tears by the end of it. So
yeah.
All right, it might be worth it.
It's pretty good.
I can do the free trial of Disney Plus, or I think my son might have an account, so it's probably worth doing.
Get on that.
All right.
And then the other thing in that vein, the other thing that I've been watching is Bret Michaels' Rock of Love, which is the trashiest, most profane reality show of all time, where like these siliconed up stripper women fight for the heart of a washed up 80s metal hair rocker.
That really, Chris, and, that sounds really, really terrible, I have to say.
It is horrible, but also spectacular. So it's on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
It's on Amazon Prime. So if you have that, go check out Bret Michaels' Rock of Love. If The Bachelor is too cerebral for you, then this is definitely what you need in your life. It is horrifying. So, yeah. So check it out.
One other thing that you mentioned, Chris, Sufjan Stevens, did you listen to his new 12.5-minute song?
I have not. I listened to his, he has like a full-length electronica album out in the last few months, I believe. I listened to a little bit of that, but I have not listened to the full song.
Yeah, so announced a follow-up to a new album that he's calling the follow-up to the Illinois album. And
really?
Yeah, and the first track, I think it might be the last track on the album, it's 12.5 minutes long. It took me like three sittings to get through it yesterday, because, you know, I'm kind of working at my desk and then I'm walking around the house and doing something else. I'm like, okay, I made it to like 4 minutes, 23 seconds. I put pause on and then I, you know, so I think it's really good. I'm not yet sure about the whole 12 and a half minute thing. It's really good for like 4 minutes, and then it goes into like this drony long, you know, what are you going to do with 12 and a half minutes? And I guess the whole album's going to be like 80 minutes. So, you know, he wow. does that. Sufjan tends to be pretty ambitious with his projects. So, hopefully.
Well, in the mid 2000s, I was 100% in on his whole, I bought his whole shtick about I'm going to do an album for every state.
Yeah.
Because he'd already done Michigan and then Illinois. And I'm like, this sounds great. Yeah. Can't wait for the Wisconsin album.
Right.
And he's like, nah, I was just kidding about that. So kind of a bummer.
He could be, it'd be perfect. He could record that, the Wisconsin album, in the Bon Iver studio. It would just be a natural fit. Right. Well, we could just go right into the music. I didn't prepare any, you know, Rock and Apple stuff or anything really. And, you know, it's great that, I'm not sure even how this is happening, that we're avoiding rock and roll deaths. You know, it seems like in about the first 3 weeks of the coronavirus, about five famous musicians died. And then it's sort of, I guess it's all right now, the outbreaks are more with young people. I mean, we know it's bad, but it seems like there haven't been as many deaths. Who knows where this is going? But I guess I should have played the coronavirus jingle, but I failed to do so.
By the way, speaking of deaths, another thing that this is just gonna be all about stuff that I've watched. But I watched That Thing You Do.
Oh yeah,
which you know, Fountains of Wayne.
Movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the lead song was written by
Adam Schlesinger.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Adam Schlesinger. And I was just watching the movie, like that song is all through the movie and basically carries the movie from beginning to end. So I was just thinking about how great you have to be to write a song that's supposed to be great in the movie and yet is actually great.
Yeah.
Like a lot of movies, they're about like somebody who's a genius or whatever, and they never show you what the actual thing that they do is that's genius, because then you actually have to be genius for it to be in the movie. But in this case, they actually wrote a genius song, and it's actually, you know, it's plausible that this song would take off and, you know, take them around the country. So, poor Adam Schlesinger.
Yeah. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? Did he write a whole bunch of them and say, here's half a dozen songs, you know, pick one? Or if he just said, here's your song, and they said, great.
Evidently, it was also co-written by Tom Hanks, that song as well, so.
Really? Did he write words?
Some of the music in the movie is actually written by Tom Hanks. Sounds like kind of a fun movie to have worked on.
That I did not know. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. We have three features. But, well, let's start with the indie rock veteran, long time, I don't even know what to say. We're going to talk about Laura Marling. you know, Anurag said, you know, this is one of the albums he'd be interested in talking about. And I'm like, well, of course, when you think Laura Marling, you think Chris, because you've been talking the praises of Laura Marling for the past decade. You couldn't even decide which album should be on the top of the decade list. There was more than one candidate. So I'm like, well, got to get Chris on here. And you know, for anybody who's been listening to the podcast, you know, we have these themes, you know, like the 38 special thing, you know, but Chris's triumvirate of Laura's was one of the things that you probably mentioned in like 2011, you know, and it's been a recurring theme. Yeah. So maybe you should go through that history a little bit.
Yeah, I think the first Laura Marling album we talked about was probably 2010, maybe 10 years ago. And yes, my holy triumvirate of Laura's, Marling, Gibson, and Veers, of course. So I had just heard. So this album was supposed to come out in the fall, I believe. And once coronavirus hit and she realized there were going to be no tours or anything like that, she's just like, screw it. I'm just going to release it now. So she released it at the beginning of the COVID shutdown, surprising everyone. And I got somewhere, I guess I was checking her out on Instagram or something, and I saw that she was doing a concert that was supposed to be broadcast live where you pay like $15 to see her live. And so I actually paid for it. And it kind of seems like it was pre-recorded. So I don't know how that exactly that worked out. That seems like cheating somehow. But it was great. And it had a lot of songs from this album on there. So I don't know. Should I pick a song? I mean, what is there left to say about Laura Marling after talking about her for 10 years?
Well, we can hear what Anurag has to say. That I'm sure he'll have a fresh perspective. But I was going to say before that, Nick Cave is doing the same thing with a live performance. Did you see that?
I did not.
He's not. I think he's pre-recording it, and everybody knows he's pre-recording it, so it's like a concert film or whatever. But you have to pay to watch it, and it's at a specific time that they're going to show it, and then it said you will not be able to pause or forward it. It's going to just be run once through, so that it comes across as a one-time thing. And there's the promo photo is him in this. Looks like a big concert hall on a really big stage, all sitting by himself at a piano. So, and it said he's going to play like Nick Cave classics and stuff. So it might be pretty cool. So check that out. So, why don't we, Anurag, you mentioned this album, the Laura Marling album. So maybe we should let Anurag pick a song. Chris probably could pick the whole album.
Okay, let's listen to Strange Girl.
Working hard and getting on, still not getting paid. Stay low, keep brave. Woke up in a country who refused to hold your hand. Kept falling for narcissists to insist you caught a man. You work late for a job you hate, but you never fit the plan. Stay low, keep brave. I love you, my strange girl, my lonely girl, my angry girl, my brave. I love you, my strange girl, my lonely girl, my angry girl, my brave. Build yourself a garden and have something to attend. Cut off all relations, you could not stand your friends. Announce yourself a socialist to have something to defend. Oh, young girl, please don't bullshit me. I love you, my strange girl.
Reminds me so much of Joni Mitchell.
I was going to make that suggestion.
Yeah. And I like this song because it's kind of like she's chastising this girl who's making mistakes over and over again. And she says, I still love you, but you're so strange. Love it.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't write a whole lot of, I guess, what you would say, bangers.
Like, yes.
Not a lot of upbeat songs that'll get a party going. they're mostly about women who have been wronged and bitter feelings and things like that. But and she seems personally probably not the life of the party. But, you know, some people have to be really serious about what they do. Not everybody can screw off like we do. If I'm having heart surgery, I don't care if my heart surgeon, has funny Instagram feed or whatever. Although one of the things she is doing on Instagram during the shutdown, she's giving guitar lessons, and she's teaching people how to play her various songs. So that's a big that's a big help to society there.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've been enjoying these concerts in their rooms and their bedrooms and their living rooms. Those are really, really fun, like so intimate, and they're good ones. Yep.
Yeah, it kind of separates out those who like really need lots of effects and other things from the people who are actually legitimately talented. And boy, you just her and her voice and a guitar, and it's amazing.
And it seems like it'd be, you know, her style would be good for that because it's pretty stripped down in terms of the sound, right? It's not, there's no complication to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I listen to this, I ask myself, is this a style of music that just not very many people do anymore? Or is it just that I have not listened to it? I haven't paid attention. You know, it's it can be, you know, I don't know which it is, but actually, you know,
yes, yeah, I'm with you. I haven't really listened to the style a lot. I mean, I know it was really famous back in the 70s, but lately, nope. That's why maybe I find it so interesting.
Or there could be.
Well, I should mention that the other two Lauras in the triumvirate also play somewhat just like this, kind of 70s folk-ish. So they're out there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Especially if their name's Laura.
And they're all named Laura.
So what, you know, my history kind of with Laura Marling has been every time Chris says there's a new Laura Marling album and it's awesome, I listen to it. And I listen to it probably once and I say, yeah, that was pretty good. And then I just don't go back to it.
Go back.
just because that super folky style is something else always seems to take precedence, so some rockin' thing comes out and then I listen to that instead, you know. This one I listened to more though, and I was telling Chris, you know, I think I'm starting to really understand, you know, how, you know, what a great songwriter she is, and there's so many great songs on this album. So before Chris steals it, I'm gonna make a pick because I'm sure he would have stolen it. Number two, Held Down.
Up, it was 4 in the morning, clear as all hell that you'd already gone. She notes that, dear, you know I hate to disappear, but the days are short and the nights are getting long.
Laura Marling, the album is Song for Our Daughter. So I was just looking at some of the info on her, and this is pretty amazing. Even though she's you can call her an indie rock veteran or a folk rock veteran or whatever, she's been around a long time, but she's only 30. She's 30 years old.
She was making, when we reviewed her first album, I think she was like 19 or 20, something like that. And we were amazed at how someone so young could make such a mature album.
Yeah. And she's definitely has the talent, the songwriting, and just a great singer, obviously, right? She's a lot better singer than your typical indie rocker.
Yes. Yes. Her voice can carry a whole album. She was actually just in, she was in Madison a few years ago, for her once after her Once I Was an Eagle album. And I think she almost did it from front to back because the first like four or five songs on the album all just kind of flow together. Hmm. And she did all those and, it was just amazing. She played the Majestic, I believe.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. She's from London, by the way, or maybe from somewhere else in England, but I think based in London now. So
you want to let Chris pick a song or no?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Well, so I knew that you guys were going to pick like two and three. So I went further down to number seven. And you know our rule, if an album has, if the seventh song on an album is really good, then it's a great album. Because nobody waits to put great songs that low. So so let's go with number seven, which is Fortune.
You took out that money that your mama had saved. She told me she kept it for running away. Oh my, fortunes can change. You've picked up some tricks that you learned on your way. For fear you'd be lonely if you never changed. Oh my, you lost your faith. We landed on rocks, and that's partly to blame. We wandered the landscape in this unbearable pain. Oh my, your fortune can change. At least we agree. We've wasted our time. We'll give up the hope that we'll meet down the line. Better off measured in coffee and wine. I think on it fondly, now the truth can be told.
Yeah, solid track seven.
Yeah, it's very Nick Drakey.
That sounds like a fair comparison.
Yeah, so that just gives you an idea of kind of one of the more stripped down songs. And of course, when she did her live show that I paid for coronavirus, she and I know it was during coronavirus because the guy that walked up and handed her guitar switches was wearing a face mask. So
wow.
unless like a year ago she she called this. Yeah. So but yeah, she's extremely talented.
Very. Yeah.
Very cool.
Very cool.
All right. On to the next thing. I think.
Wait, we were just talking about the Black Eyed Peas, right?
I don't weren't recall we just, that.
weren't we just reviewing them? Oh, that was Laura Marling. Okay,
yes.
Never mind. I get the two confused a lot.
Uh-huh.
All right. Time to move on. Well, Chris recommended one, and this is kind of cool because there's a tie-in with another band we talked about before. So, Chris, introduce us to Gum Country.
I went Canadian just for Anurag. This is guitarist Courtney Garvin of the Courtneys,
yeah,
and drummer Connor Mayer, who, if you watch the video, he does the trick where he drums and actually plays synthesizer at the same time. Like he drums with one arm and then plays the synthesizer with his other, which I've only seen one other band do that, and it was Y-Oak when I saw them in concert. Andy Stack of Y-Oak was able to do that. But yeah, I mean it's power pop. If you listen to the Courtneys at all, and this is a side project, they're somewhat similar, but this one has kind of a 90s electronic groove with the synthesizer and everything. And it's very catchy. And I like it.
It's kind of fuzzy, right? It's like a fuzzy guitar with a lot of synth in there.
Yeah, she applies a lot of echo to her voice, and I really love her delivery, which is like really kind of flat and almost disinterested, which is why I think it represents the 90s really well, when everybody was just supposed to be like, eh, kind of whatever. So it has that vibe to it. So I like it a lot.
Yeah, when I listened to it, I was like, this sounds so familiar. Why is it so familiar? And then I checked out their Bandcamp site. I said, oh, Courtney is there. That's why. So kind of like it was in the back of my mind when you gave this album out to us a few days ago.
She's from Vancouver, but she moved to L.A. for indie rock stardom.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So still West Coast, the other end of the West Coast.
So let me pick a song. I'm going to pick song number 6, which is Pills.
Good synth lead there, right?
Yeah, so imagine playing the drums and the synth at the same time.
Yeah.
I got to see that now.
Yeah, it seems pretty talented. They have a video for one of these songs, for the first song, I believe. And you can check it out there.
There's at least one track where he just goes totally crazy on the synth, and I'm like, no, that's too much. I don't know if you guys are thinking of the same thing I am, but it's like... but for the most part,
it's... Much synth.
Yeah. Yes.
Always too much saxophone, never too much synth.
Yeah. Anurag, do you want to take the next one?
Sure. Dennis, I feel okay. Number 3.
We'll be right back.
why don't we go down to the court? Is she talking about actually playing tennis or it's a metaphor?
I think so. I don't know. You never know for sure if it's literal or not. Yeah.
That was a fun album, though. I liked it. Gum Country.
Yeah. So it seems a little weird that, you know, Courtney Garvin, who appropriately is in the Courtneys, you know, she's a guitarist. I don't know how much singing she does. In what I've seen from the Courtneys, the band, the drummer actually does most of the singing.
She does.
Yep. Yeah, so I'm just kind of wondering what the dynamic there is. Like, you know, you've got a perfectly good guitarist who has all these great ideas for songs. And what do you not let her write any of the songs for the band? And so she has to go write an album that's just as good as any of the Courtneys albums? Seems weird. Well, weird dynamic.
That's why you have side projects and multiple projects, right? Because you want to do something different in the other band. And then you've, yeah. Right. So, yeah, it's interesting. Well, you guys picked two of my top picks, too. I mean, those are the catchy ones, right? Mm-hmm. But this is another one where I think it is perfectly valid, and I'm going to do it to play track one because it's got such a great lead guitar thing running through the whole thing. It's cool. So I'm going to play it. Number one, Somewhere. I'm going to call that guitar lead indie rock gold.
That to me, that sounded very like divey.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Dive does that kind of guitar. You know, yeah. Yep.
Where it's like heavily echoed and it's
yeah.
It's a little spacey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
So the only time that I've seen the Courtneys actually play was the CBC every year has a music festival. Am I right on that, Anurag?
Yep. That's right.
And in 2019, I watched the CBC Music Festival, and it was the Courtneys and, like, Stars. Oh. And, of course, headlining it is the greatest Canadian band working today, which is Always.
Cool. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that was the back when they had festivals. That was 2019. So,
yeah.
Actually, somebody on Twitter this week started a big thread, like, what is the greatest ever Canadian band? And, uh-oh, you know, you had a lot of people with your Neil Youngs and your Rushes and, yeah, you know, all that stuff. Yeah. I threw out Godspeed Your Black Emperor from Montreal. Nobody really dug into that too much. But I also said that the greatest Canadian band working right now is Always. And nobody knew what I was talking about. So,
yeah, those people are missing anyway out. Yeah.
So Anurag, greatest Canadian band of all time.
Oh, don't put me on the spot. No.
You're on the spot.
Oh, goodness.
Anurag speaks
new
for
pornographers.
He speaks for the entire country, so this is a lot of pressure, Anurag.
It is. Oh my goodness! No, I can't. Yes, you have to give me some time now.
If you're the only, if you're the only Canadian on the podcast, you speak for the country, just like Craig speaks for the UK.
You've been elected the Prime Minister of Indie Rock.
Right.
Oh gosh, I have no clue. No clue.
All right. Will, any suggestions?
For the best Canadian artist?
Yes.
I guess maybe I'd go with Neil Young, but I don't know if I have like enough. I don't have the whole catalog in front of me to choose from, so I'm gonna forget somebody.
Unfair to put you on the spot. We'll get back to that later.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Let's take it to Canada one more time. I don't know how much you guys got a chance to listen to this, but I mentioned this album I've been listening to by Wares, and they're from Edmonton. And if you look at a map, Edmonton is like, Anurag, have you ever been to Edmonton?
No.
I wouldn't think so. I mean, it is way up there. So if you look at Calgary, it's kind of up there, but then you got to go like 2 hours by car north of Calgary, then you hit Edmonton. It's sort of like the highest north point of civilization in Canada, I think.
Is it near Moose Jaw?
Yeah, probably not. Moose Jaw sounds like it would be like at the North Pole or something.
Why does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Moose Jaw.
But
that's the only funny like Canadian city that I know is Moose Jaw. I don't know where it is. I'll look it up. You guys keep talking.
So, look up Edmonton too, because I don't have the map in front of me, but they do have a hockey team up there, right? The Edmonton Oilers. And so I'm wondering, is that the northernmost major sports franchise? Because that's just way up there.
Moose Jaw is in Saskatchewan, and actually not very far up there.
Okay.
It's by Regina. Regina?
Oh, yeah. Regina. Regina.
Edmonton seems pretty far up there. Like, yeah, there aren't very many cities north of Edmonton. Edmonton's north of Calgary.
Right. And yet it's got a million people, I think, in Edmonton. Makes sense they'd have a music scene. So this band Wares, that's where they're from. So they have a new album called Survival. And one thing I read about it was, it was just some review that, of course, I didn't even read the whole review, but I saw the highlights, and they said, yeah, this is a pretty good album, but it needs hooks. It doesn't have enough hooks. And I thought, yeah, I kind of thought that the first one or two times I listened to it, I thought maybe it's not that catchy, but then I listened to it more and it was sort of a grower for me. So, I don't know if you guys got a chance to listen or not. Let's find out after I play a track. This one, I'll say the fun part of this song is wait for the organ solo, number 2, Tall Girl.
To define
that's the song I was going to choose too.
Yeah, it sounds like an organ solo to me, but there's guitar mixed in there. There's a lot of stuff mixed together in a kind of purposefully murky sound, I think.
Yeah, I did give this one listen, and the only thing I could think was, yep, this is Will.
Was it too much shoegaze for you?
It's echoey and gazy and, yep, yeah. All the things you love. Much like Gum Country is definitely me, this is definitely you.
Yeah, it's very hazy for sure. Yeah. So, well, Anurag, did you have? I stole your pick. Did you have a backup?
Yep. Let's listen to Violence, number 8.
Good pick. I like that one.
I really like the lyrics on this. It's really, really beautiful. I like Bandcamp putting lyrics as well. It's fun to just look at the words while they're singing.
Yeah, it's still funny, isn't it, how bands are really inconsistent with that. Some of them publish them, and some the streaming service will display it, and some they don't. And
true.
I didn't get too immersed in the lyrics, so I'll just believe you that they're good.
They are very good. Lots of LGBTQ lyrics over here in this album. I think that's what they're pushing for, too. If you look at this record is dedicated to the decolonial activists, anti-fascists, I can't pronounce any words, prairie queens fighting and community and a better life. Cute.
Yep. Chris, do you want to make a pick or do you want to throw it back to me?
I'm actually busy right now looking at cities in Canada, scoping out like a place to live if Trump wins again.
Okay. Yeah.
So I kind of like the sound of Saskatoon.
Oh, it gets very cold. No.
No?
No.
No to Saskatoon? All right. Well, I'll keep looking. I do not have a pick, so I'll throw it back to either one of you guys.
All right. How about, Anurag, do you have a preference between number 4 or 5?
I think number 5 is their star, isn't it? Star,
I'm not sure, but we can play that one. It's called Surrender into Waiting Arms.
Yeah.
fun change of pace 2 minutes into the song.
Yep, I'll definitely be paying more attention to this album, this one and Gum Country, and Laura Martin.
Yeah, I think, yeah, just so much excitement, so much great music. That's Where's, the album is called Survival. They've got, I think, three other albums, so they've been around a while, but this is the first one I've heard, so thought it was worthy. So there you go. Mm. Chris, have you found a city in Montreal? I mean, see, I was giving up my bias here. I was thinking maybe Montreal would be the city in Canada to move to.
Well, I'm checking out Anurag's area, and when you said Laura Marling is from London, you...
There is London, Ontario, too. Yes.
Yep. Wrong London.
London, Ontario, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been there a few times.
We're not Hamilton.
If I had to choose a city to live in Canada, I think it'd probably be Toronto. It's lots of stuff happening there. Montreal is a good city.
It costs a lot of money to live in Toronto, though, right?
Yeah, you don't have to pay the downtown core. You could stay a little further away from the core. And then, yeah. It's well connected, and Montreal is really fun as well, except it's best to know French. Otherwise, if you're not in downtown, then you'll be in trouble.
You better hope the Kitchener Chamber of Commerce doesn't hear you bad-mouthing Kitchener saying you better move to Toronto. They're going to make your life hell.
I'm not Kitchener. No, I'm saying a city. You have to choose a city.
So
they're
Kitchener
stop picking up your trash.
Kitchener doesn't count as a city. Then you're not even giving it the respect of calling it a city.
It's not a city. No, let's be honest.
It's a small town.
Qualifies as a city because Kitchener is like it's a tri-city area. There's Kitchener, Waterloo, and Cambridge.
Yeah,
right next to each other. It's kind of blend into each other as well. So if you include all of it, then I think it's like a good 600,000-700,000 population. So
that qualifies as a city.
That qualifies as a city, I guess. Yeah. Yep.
Do you have a big big rivalry with Guelph?
No. Guelph is they're exploding. I think it's the fastest growing city in Canada, if I'm not wrong. At least in Ontario.
They have a music festival there too.
It's a college town, so. Yeah.
And it's more sort of folky, I think. But I remember considering going to that 1 year that my wife and I went up there to. We went to Toronto, and our kids were at a camp, and we. I remember looking into that Guelph, whatever they call that music festival, but we did not end up going. There's all kinds of great stuff. There used to be music festivals, but I guess there's not now. But.
All right. Well, I can be convinced.
Yeah.
Send me a flyer.
Yep. Sign us up for Canadian citizenship. Yeah. All right. Well, $0. Did we hit $0?
We did.
Definitely did.
I'm going to say we did. Yeah. We hit 1 hour of recording. So when I chop out all of my mistakes, it'll be down to like 52 minutes probably. Ooh. No, not really. I didn't have 8 minutes worth of mistakes, but a minute or two. Well, thanks, you guys. There's more excitement. I was just now thinking about, David's telling us about a couple albums he's really excited about, and I've still got a bit of a backlog, so there should be more fun stuff. There are some superstars coming out with albums soon. I think the Beths album is coming out soon. The Fontaine's DC second album is coming out soon. The new Proto Martyr album that Anurag probably has on his calendar to download the second it comes out.
What I couldn't believe was that you were just going to plug in Bob Dylan right at the end of this podcast. I was so against it. How can you do that?
We could still do it if you want. Yeah,
no, it has to. It's a star. It has to have its own show.
I actually thought it'd be kind of funny if we just relegated Bob Dylan to like the status of an indie rocker. Yeah. So should I tell you my reaction to the Bob Dylan album?
Album in brief.
So this is like the quick hits, right? So I put it on in my office. I was doing some office work, and I'm like, okay, well, put this Bob Dylan album on. And I got about a little over, I got about 70% through it. And then I said to myself, this is just not worth it. I just can't do it. So I gave up. So sorry to tell you. It would just be work for me to try to appreciate it because, I'm sure a lot of it is the lyrics, and I'm not willing to put in the effort to study the lyrics. And And musically, I can't really connect. So sorry, Anurag. But I would always be happy to, like, anything that anyone on the podcast is excited about is worth talking about. I love it. So, you know, I would have put Bob Dylan on, like, as agreed to have him being the first featured artist if you wanted to. But
yeah,
you kind of had him on a list of several things you've been listening to.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
But will he record an intro for us? That's the important thing.
Right. Now that, if he did that,
I'd up on Twitter.
I would definitely start listening to the album then. I would agree to listen to that album in full 4 times if he does a promo for us.
You know the famous story about how when he was awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature, they got no response from Bob Dylan for a month. The committee that nominated the prize, like, for a month, he was just silent. So you really think he's going to come for the world's ban? He's ignoring the Nobel Committee. He wants to come to the world's ban.
Well, maybe that's exactly the type of thing.
Exactly,
he would do,
right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'll ask him.
Why not? Yeah. Anurag, this one's on you. You need to arrange this.
All right. Put a pin in that one. Anurag can talk about it later.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, you guys. Guess it's time to sign off. Everybody be cool. I mean, literally be cool, because it's, like, really hot around here right now. You think of all of us are in, you know, kind of the northern part of North America. Boy, at least here in Wisconsin, it is really hot. So,
like I was just complaining to my mom that it's hot, and she said in India it's almost like 47 degrees Celsius. I don't know how much that is in Fahrenheit. And
Hot.
I said, it's 34 here, and they started laughing at us. I said, you have to look at the context. We're not used to 34. We're used to colder temperatures. So, yeah, it's steaming right now.
Yeah.
What about in Wisconsin? Is it, like, Madison, is it bad?
Oh, it's, like, approaching 90 Fahrenheit. We've got to do our conversions now. I don't know what that is in Celsius.
I think that's about the same. Yeah.
Where it is 75 degrees and sunny, which is perfect weather? Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan.
Oh, man. This is the time to be there.
Right up on my screen right there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Chris, maybe you can get a last-minute airfare. Wear your mask. You'll be only 3 people on the plane, you know?
It appears to have a very pleasant downtown area. So, yeah, I'll keep looking into it.
All right. We'll sign off, and we'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, citizens of Moose Jaw.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.